In case some of you are visitors this morning, I am not Bishop Smith. I became Bishop Smith last night at 9:45. It's a particular delight to be here in spite of the sad situation that the bishop is sick, because on the 12th of April, I had the wonderful privilege of meeting with the confirmation class, as I've been doing every year for the past several years. And my task this morning is to talk to you as a congregation in some of the terms that with which I talk to the confirmation class. And one of the questions that I asked the confirmation class was, how many of you all think that confirmation is voting for God? And, because we say, I believe in God, and it sounds like we're voting for God. But if you'll notice in this confirmation service, the first question that is asked of the confirmands is, do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil? Which is a way of saying this Christian discipleship is tough business. Then it says, do you renew your commitment to Jesus Christ? That's not the same thing as voting for Jesus. And so what I'd like to do is use two words with the congregation this morning that I have used with the confirmation class. And I'd like to use those two words because if you were to ask someone about the things that are really important in this world, these two words would probably not come to mind, because we live in a world of power. We live in a world of technology. We live in a country that has great resources. And so there are all kinds of things that appear to be more important than they are. Important, but not as important as we make them. And so the two words that I used with the confirmation class are the words relationship and love. If you heard in that epistle from the Epistle of John, it says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. If you were to be asked to tell people about yourself who you are, it would not be possible to do that without talking about relationships. Relationships define us, where we come from, who we're with, what we do with others. And so relationship is a fundamentally important word, but it's more important than ever, because we believe that the nature of God is relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that is at the heart of the universe. This Trinitarian relationship, which is a relationship of love. And then when we think about our own lives and this epistle talking about love, one of the things that we want to remember is that love only comes from the outside. It doesn't come from the inside. Louise and I are excited because we are expecting a third grandchild in a week or two. And one of the things that I pray for with the two little girls that my son and daughter-in-law have is that the love that they have for them will be given to them in such a way that their lives are made whole by it. Love comes from the outside to the inside. It forms. It doesn't start on the inside. And so we see that with the universe. We see that in relationships. And all relationships work the same way. Everywhere you look in the scripture and in the prayer book, you see relationships. In this wonderful passage from the Gospel of John, the passage of the Good Shepherd, that was a strange passage about a shepherd. It uses the Old Testament image of a shepherd, But if a shepherd lays down his life for the sheep will be scattered. So this is taking an ancient image and reinvigorating it in terms of Jesus and his relationship to the Father. And that relationship of self-emptying is the way God's love comes into the world. If you think about relationships that you have in your family or with friends, love comes through self-emptying. And one of the givens about relationships is that they cannot be controlled. The minute you try to control a relationship, love evaporates and the relationship is in trouble. So when we look at the love of God in Jesus Christ, one of the things that we see about that strange and wonderful love is that it is a love of self-emptying, and it comes to us in relationship. One of the things that I said to the confirmands is that God did not send us love in an email. He sent it in the person of Jesus Christ and came to us in human form. And that we are invited into relationship. The way we acquire what is on the other side through relationship comes through our interaction in that relationship. As I was leaving All Saints Church Chevy Chase some years ago, I had the great privilege of presiding at the funeral of the wife of a wonderful doctor that I had gotten to know there, and they had been married 65 years. And one of the things that I saw in that relationship is that she was in him and he was in her, and there was absolutely no doubt about it. That relationship acquired, if you will, the treasure on the other side. And so when God comes to us in relationship to Jesus Christ, we are invited into a relationship, and it's through that relationship that we acquire the precious gift of God's love. And that's what that passage from the Gospel of John was talking about, Jesus laying down his life for the sheep. And he said in that passage that no one can take it from him. The Father knows me, and I know the Father. And so what he's saying is, in relationship to Jesus Christ, we know the Father. We are in relationship with the Father. And that's why the word relationship is so profound. It is at the heart of all life. It is the delivery system of love. The Gospel of John says of Jesus Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. What does that mean? It means that where there is the absence of love in a life, it is distorted. And when you think about the human family, that family is a formation system so that the love of parents can go to children. I remember years ago when I went to the Menninger Foundation one summer, I had the privilege of hearing Dr. Murray Bowen, who wrote some of the early books on family systems. And I remember one of the first things he said to us in talking about families and systems. He said, parents love their children not so that their children will love them back, but so that their children may love their children. Think about that in terms of what that says about love. God loves us through the person of Jesus Christ and invites us into relationship so that as that comes into our lives, it can go through our lives to others. Love, if you will, is the blood of life. We as the church gather around Jesus Christ, who is God's love to us in that self-emptying. And of course, one of the ways that we can weaken that love and anesthetize it is move from what I would call relationship to information. I have a wonderful image in my mind. When I was a teenager, I had a close friend who was a member of the First Baptist Church in Natchez, and I was, of course, a member of Trinity Church, and the Baptists had a big revival, and that next Monday, we were having lunch, and Tommy said to me, he said, "Edward, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?" And I said, "Tommy, I'm an Episcopalian." Now, if he asked me that question today, I'd answer it differently. Because what he was saying is your practice of religion information or relational? Do you just vote for God, and your voting for God has little or nothing to do with the way you live? It's not relational, but you're in charge, or is it something else? I didn't understand that at this time. But when we look at this wonderful passage about the Good Shepherd and his relationship to the Father and his self-emptying, it says that God comes to us in relationship. And we have faith through relationship. If you remember, in the last several weeks, we have been reading the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. And Sunday ago, that passage was when the apostles and others were in the upper room after Cleophas and the other disciple had come back from Emmaus and had experienced Jesus in the breaking of bread. And then he appeared in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And of course, you can imagine there was no peace there. They thought they had seen a ghost. They thought they had seen the dead, not the living. And he said to them, "Look at my hands and my feet," which was to say that the one before you is the one who was crucified. And the one who was crucified is resurrected. And then he asked for something to eat, and they gave him a piece of fish. And it said they were filled with joy, though unbelieving, because it was just so stunning to really believe that something like that could happen. And then he taught them again about the necessity of the messianic figure dying and rising again. And then he said, "You are witnesses to these things." What he was saying about that is, you are witnesses to the fact that God came to you in relationship through me, and that through this relationship you are connected to God. So when we confirm these young people today, they are renewing their commitment to Jesus Christ, who has already made his commitment to them. And the thing that we want to remember in this commitment, in the context of this congregation, is that God's love in Jesus Christ is what brings life and wholeness to them. And as young people, they will be growing up, leaving here, going to college, doing all kinds of things. The inner strength that is necessary to live in life comes from believing that we are loved, that we are loved by God, and that we matter. And that's why it's so important that this congregation gather around these young people. I've been reading every April, I read something from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The reason I do that is that the 9th of April is the day that Dietrich Bonhoeffer was hanged by the Gestapo, and then 2 weeks later the concentration camp was freed. And he was a remarkable Christian. And in his book called The Cost of Discipleship, he says this: "A truth, a doctrine, a religion need no space for themselves." He's talking about information. "They are disembodied entities. They are heard, learned, apprehended, and that's all. But the incarnate Son of God needs not only ears or hearts, but living men and women who will follow him. That is why he called his disciples into a literal, bodily following, and thus made his fellowship with them a visible reality." This church is a visible reality of Jesus' fellowship with the Father and the Father's self-emptying love in Jesus crucified and resurrected. And then he talks about what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. A member of the body of Christ has been delivered from the world and called out of it. He must give the world a visible proof of his calling, not only by sharing in the church's worship and discipline, but also through the new fellowship of brotherly living. If the world despises one of the brethren, the Christian will love and serve him. If the world does him violence, the Christian will succor and comfort him. If the world dishonors and insults him, the Christian will sacrifice his own honor to cover his brother's shame. You see, that's what the incarnate love of God and Jesus Christ is all about. That's why we're sitting here in this church today, confirming these young people, helping them see through this community the love of God for them that will last them all their life long. And for that, we can all say, thanks be to God. Amen.